Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a little special secondary episode of the Rebooked Podcast. I am one of your hosts. Yes, no, Golden Boy is unfortunately passed. We left him in another country. Oh, go there he is. No.
I'm here. I'm okay. Guys, I'm here. Oh, man, I made it. Oh, boy. Boy, my arm's tired.
That's right. From España. No, we are here. Secondary show. So the secondary host is introing the show. So, but yeah, we wanted to do another extra kind of show. Secondary episode where we kind of, this is where we can do different fantasy bookings or do tier lists or kind of do things a little bit more outside those realm of normal weekly discussion. You know what I mean? And maybe even take some fan questions or suggestions for bonus topics as well. I think that could be a fun thing that we do. But today on this special extra episode of Rebooked, we are going to bring in something. It is WrestleMania season, gents. We've been talking about it a lot. Cody Rhodes, The Rock, all that stuff. But there's a fondness for this buildup every single year, right? Yeah. We have. And many of us have fond memories of different stories, characters, rivalries heading into WrestleMania each and every year. So this episode, we're just going to take a brief little time here to talk. Each of us have one of our favorite WrestleMania stories, WrestleMania rivalries. We remember the video packages, the promos, the matches that we're going to talk about heading into WrestleMania that year. And then just kind of break it down a little bit, just to walk down memory lane, so to speak. So really quick, super rapid fire, though, before we get into the actual discussion. Off the top of your head, favorite WrestleMania number, just if you had to pick one.
X7.
GB, go.
X7
classic. X7.
I don't know why. I just liked the name convention for that too. You could have just called it 17, but just it being X7 for some reason just added so much to it. But then they overdid it. Then they did like X8, X9.
Everything's like, okay, X, right?
Relax. Yeah, there's no more X's here. Okay, but yeah, love that one.
Jake, what about you?
Oh man,
I said go off the top of your head. Don't think this is
WrestleMania
like
30. WrestleMania 30. 30?
Damn it, you took mine.
Wait, well, hold on. I got to remember.
That was the Daniel Bryan 30. One.
Oh, that's right. That was WrestleMania 30. In
New Orleans, yeah.
We may talk about that more. So, like, all right, I'm going to... Frick. You literally... Yeah, you took it from
you
me,
took,
you
took
lousy
the
bastard. That was the first. That was the first WrestleMania I ever attended.
Really?
I was there as a part of NXT. Because we had done Access and everything like that. And so it was my first one. I was ever there. I watched it from the floor and stuff like that. So, like, and I just thought it was a really good show overall. I will follow up. Then I'll say the next time WWE was in New Orleans for WrestleMania 34, which is where I performed on the show. So selfishly, I will take that one. Although there are so many to choose from.
There really are, man.
So dude, 40. Guys. We're on 40 now.
Yeah.
XL.
I love
not
it.
Not X9,
dude.
Not X10. It's XL.
Yeah. It's so good, man. I will say, though, I feel like with how they've been changing the WrestleMania naming, because you remember there was like a point in time where they just weren't saying the numbers anymore. Uh-huh. And I'm curious, like, what was the reasoning behind that? I guess maybe it's, like, they didn't want to seem like they were, like, old or whatever. But I don't know. I love the numbers. I feel
When was it? When were they not saying the numbers? I'm trying to think. I remember
30.
What you were talking about.
It was after 30, I'm pretty sure, because they were doing the... because then after that, it was, like, just the WrestleMania logo.
Yeah.
But with, like, the location of where they're going. And then that was like the branding for it. And I just thought it was like,
yeah, because they did the one, the one in Tampa where it was like the Tampa Bay Bucks themed logo and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was like the pirate ship in the background and stuff like that. Yeah,
which would have been like,
that was 36, I think, right?
Yeah, which or I was going to say, which would have been like 2019 to 2021, kind of. Or I think.
Yeah, I'm looking right now at the different logos. And I would definitely say that it's not the most like, because they stopped. So they did, WrestleMania 2000 was another good one. Damn, that was another good one, though. I just saw that, especially with the green text and the logo.
Yeah.
Real Jennifer Lopez vibes to that, you know, waiting for tonight, you know.
That is always the one, I will say. That is always the one.
Like,
I never say WrestleMania 16, because it's what it is, but I say WrestleMania 2000.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whenever I remember, I go, oh, at WrestleMania 2000, the Fatal 4-Way for the WWF title or whatever. I never say rarely do I ever say 16.
Yeah, I don't think that they call it that.
No, everywhere in marketing and everything, it's WrestleMania 2000. Yeah, everything.
That was also an N64 game, wasn't it? Wasn't WrestleMania 2000?
Yeah, yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
A good one, too. The precursor to No Mercy.
Yeah.
I wonder if I could, like, share my screen real fast. Hold on, because I think this will be really funny. Oh no, I can't. Okay, because this would have been I can't.
You can
here
send
we go.
Me the link and I can. Okay.
No, I got it right here. I'm gonna show it to you guys. So I'm looking at the different WrestleMania logos over the course of the year, but I might need to change it up a little bit. So here's the thing: you can see here WrestleMania 2000. You can see the last one they did with the numbers was WrestleMania. 28? What is that? 28.
No.
Yeah.
Well, 30. They did it for 30.
They did it for 30. But you kind of had to for. Yeah, that's like an easy one.
But
to
you're
sell.
Right. Yeah, after that, they dropped the numerals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if they're going to keep that going.
Yeah, because they did WrestleMania Hollywood. You know,
especially with
year. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's do this. What
let's
matches? Let's see what matches we like here, because I'm curious. None of us know, by the way. I think I'm the only one who shared his because I just wanted to make sure that there was no overlap. But yeah.
Well, then let's start with you.
Stories.
The stories that got you into that WrestleMania, what sticks out to you, GB?
Okay, so for me, it is WrestleMania 30. It is the Daniel Bryan story. It is
classic.
Still by... So what a lot of people may not know, I know I mentioned this in a previous one, but my best friend Rob, he introduced me to like CM Punk and then Daniel Bryan and all these guys because I didn't really know much about them. I had kind of fallen off of wrestling at the time. And he was telling me like, yo man, you should get back into it. I think like it's really good right now. It was when Punk won, when Bryan won, when Ryder was US champion. It was really cool. Right. To like, see like these guys who weren't like typically WWE guys get these opportunities. But then the story just builds up from there. Daniel Bryan goes from Team Hell No, has one of the most fun tag team runs we've seen in a while up until that point with Kane, and then starts the journey for the WWE championship. But in his way was Randy Orton, Stephanie McMahon, Shane McMahon probably. I don't remember if he was there or not. Triple H and a returning Batista, which will always shatter my brain because Batista is the one who tapped out. He's the one who lost. Like, he lost it. So I never would have thought that would have happened. Here comes Daniel Bryan. This guy is small dude. No one's giving him the time of day. And he is just, you know, from the yes chants on the ring side to, you know, to the promos and just beating him up each and every week. And I'll tell you, I genuinely believed in my mind that he was not walking out as champion because he just wasn't Vince's guy. He just wasn't Vince's guy. And even though that was the story, I just felt like, no, it was going to be Batista or Orton rather. But Daniel Bryan goes into that match or goes into that Mania. He has to wrestle Triple H in the first match. Right, I think it was the first or the second.
Yep, the opener.
Wins it. And that was another just... It doesn't get talked about that much, but that was a great match.
That match is awesome.
Yeah. Because you always see, like, the moment, right, of him lifting the belts and cheering and stuff.
Of course.
But that match, man, dude, the whole time, I was just, like, edge of my seat. Like, there's just no way he's going to win this. There's no way Triple H is going to do this. We're going to get an Evolution triple threat. This is what's going to happen. And they done did it. The bearded bastard went out there, won the match against Triple H in dramatic fashion, and then pulled off another just God-tier match. Because, again, Randy Orton and Batista need to be given all the credit in the world. That was just
Absolutely.
Such a great freaking match. And then the chanting afterwards, the camera shots that they got, the confetti. It felt like at that point WWE had, like, turned a corner. you know, of them. Because it was like, you know, they were kind of like in a weird spot, I think. Their manias up until that point weren't really like, you know, the 60, 70,000 arenas that we were seeing them fill out now. They were doing like more 30, 40K bigger venues. And then, you know, in comes this like really wild story and they went with it. And I can't believe they went with it, genuinely, because it just did not make sense. Like, it was like Vince McMahon had to have had his arm pulled in millions of directions in order for that to happen. But yeah, and that solidified it. That brought me back into professional wrestling, and I have not left since. So,
Also, one thing to think about too, like, well, you talked about the years before, to be fair, they were actually in football stadiums in the years prior.
Were they?
But yeah, like 28, 27, 28, 29.
I don't know why I'm remembering the Shawn Michaels matches in like small venues. Like, I don't know why I have it in my head.
Glendale was 26, and then 27 was Atlanta in the Georgia Dome. 28 was Miami in Miami football, the Dolphins, I think, or is it the college? I don't know. Dolphins and then 29 was MetLife, So they were. But what it took it from me, especially what made it stick out, was think about it this way too. Shut up, dog.
Can't believe you talk to your wife.
She
like
will
that.
Come. If you're watching the video version, you will. You might probably see the dog come in at some point. Aww. They can open doors now. But think about the 28 and 29 was Cena Rock.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Twice in a lifetime. So the fact that like after that, like they're arguably their two biggest stars ever were the one at the headlining the show. And then now we come in like Daniel Bryan, as popular as he is, very much not one of those guys. Right. So you're like, oh, there's no way this kid's going to main event Mania. It made it more believable. It made the underdog thing, I think, even better when it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, shout out to Batista's trunks. I did enjoy the multicolored trunks that he was coming out with. It felt like he just wanted to have fun with it. And then people were making fun of him. So, Batista, I support you in your powder blue trunks.
Dude, right, Blutista.
Blutista was great, man.
I love Blutista.
Blutista was wonderful.
Shout out real quick to that opening match with Triple H. I was in NXT at the time. Mm-hmm. And we used that match, and Terry Taylor was one of our trainers, and he would point out to us, credit to him, he made a very, very good point. Because we were young people trying to do everything in the world when we wrestled.
Couple young
right?
lions looking to prove.
All of us.
Yeah.
But his point was, watch this match, because he was like, Daniel Bryan, Triple H, the most heated rivalry in WWE. The corporate overlord's been beating the crap out of him, screwing him over. It is incredibly personal. And he goes, how did that match start?
Oh, shit. I don't remember.
Headlock.
That's
side headlock.
Right.
Shoot him off. Drop down. Like hip. He's like the most
wrestling 101.
Rivalry in WWE starts with a headlock. Because we were always trying to like, push him like, oh, we want to do a hot start. We want to come in, swing and hit this boom, false finish right off. We were trying to like change. He's like, and he was trying to pull us back. And to his credit, like, it's not every situation, but he's right. He's like, you don't always have to go to even when it's the most personal thing in the world. And it also played into their story. Again, we like talking about story. The idea that, again, he's been emotionally torturing him for months.
Yeah.
But Triple H goes out there and is like, I'm a better wrestler than you. He could have made it an ODQ match and beat him over the head with chairs and everybody. Yeah. No, I'm going to tackle, drop down, get it again. You know, leapfrog, drop down, hip toss, better than you, you stupid little indie darling. Like,
yeah,
so
yeah,
I think it added to the story that they started off just wrestling, tackle, drop down, all that kind of stuff. Wrist locks, headlocks. Like, yeah. I love that they did that as opposed to they could have easily gone street fight from the get-go. But they went back to wrestling 101.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It was very cool, very important for the story.
Yeah, that's a great point because I you know, like I think what's interesting as well for myself is like who was a returning fan at that time. It's like I guess I was so invested in like the story and what they were telling that I weirdly enough the match is like, you know,
it's secondary.
Yeah, it's almost secondary. I just remember the moments and the way it made me feel. And I do want to note there is another one, another match I just wanted to say, but it's only because I was there and I experienced it and I cried. Kofi, when Kofi won the championship. Because I was there. And
stop talking.
Yeah.
Stop talking.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Because, why? Why?
Because that's mine.
Oh, baby. Let's go.
Great segue. I love it when a plan comes together.
Go for it, Jake.
Well, ironically, that plan came together because another one did not. Now, I've said before on this show, I think it was on our very first show, sometimes I think the best things in wrestling are accidental, you know, and happen because of pivots. And I think that one, I think might be better than Daniel Bryan's. And maybe it's also
funny because it was him too.
Well, but that's I think why. I mean, I think maybe for a little bit, that's why, because the fact that it was Daniel Bryan as the champion, as a heel champion, who was at the time just doing the Planet Champion. I loved that.
Yes.
That version of the belt. I loved that version of the belt.
The hemp
belt, dude. Was rolling awesome. Up. It was fantastic. He's doing some of his best stuff. I remember him going out into the, you know, the concourse and like slapping hot dogs out of people's hands and throwing their soda on them and whatever. He was great. He was just this smarmy, like he was like a hipster MJF. He was better than you.
Oh, yeah.
Because of, you know, and he was doing some killer work.
Yeah.
And then we go into Elimination Chamber. We go into Elimination Chamber. Last second, Kofi Kingston is added to the match because Ali was hurt. And Kofi goes in there, as he always would, and just puts on a show and does so well that people started cheering for him in Elimination Chamber, right? It felt like one of those, like, oh, man, I think he can do it.
I think he could do it.
And that's what was so great. Yeah. And also, it reminds me of another time, Elimination Chamber, and Daniel Bryan was involved in this one, was the one where, oh, shit, now I've blanked on his name. But he was in Elimination Chamber. Why can't I remember his name?
Oh, what did he look like?
He had the Cobra. What was? Oh, why am I blanking on his name?
Santino.
The Elimination Chamber where Santino was the last person eliminated, and it was like, is he about to win the freaking title off of Daniel Bryan?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
is one of my favorite matches because for that reason of like, wait a minute, I think is he going to pull this off? I thought that was Santino. Apologies to Santino.
But
I'm gonna tell him.
Yeah, tell him. I apologize profusely. I feel great shame. I literally had his name, and then I was gonna say it. I was like, nope, it's gone. Just the RAM cleared, and it's gone. It was gone. But then Kofi goes out and has that gauntlet match on SmackDown. And
yes, I remember that.
It was exactly what you were talking about on the prior episode of what you had wished they had done with Gable. Kofi came out of that just smelling like roses. And it only happened because people praised how well he did in Elimination Chamber. And it got people saying, wait a minute, give Kofi his chance. Give him his opportunity.
Yeah.
And what does that become? It just becomes all these obstacles being put in the way. It was like a plussed up version of Daniel Bryan's story. Because then you get to that moment where he's like, all right, well, you won that gauntlet match. So now I think he had to be in a he was like, I'll give you a championship opportunity.
Yeah, 'cause he kept adding matches.
But wasn't it against the bar?
There then. Yeah.
Wasn't it against the bar, a handicap match?
Yeah.
But the to me, the most beautiful piece of storytelling was when they said, okay, you can get in if Woods and Big E can win their own gauntlet match.
Yeah. Oh, put it on your. Yes, that was.
I forgot about that. They are just you know, doing everything they can to win, and then here comes their biggest rivals. Uso! And then that music hits, and everybody's like, oh, shit. Oh, shit.
And that was Uso Penitentiary, right? That was Uso Penitentiary, right? Correct?
And then they come in the ring, and they say, we forfeit. Oh, I mean,
oh, yes. To feel.
To, yep. It was good.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I was there for all of that. I was at SmackDown for all of that at the time.
I'm curious why they went that route. Why they, like, you know, from a story perspective, like, when they're writing it, like, I guess it just shows, like, them also reinforcing the fan perception.
Yes,
that, like,
I think it was.
Kofi needed to be there.
Yes, Kofi needed to be there.
It was a respect thing, reflecting all that energy.
And but I guess what I'm saying is from, like, you know, yeah, go for it, Jake. Sorry.
Well, I was just saying, because they were such big rivals at the time. I mean, they were, for the longest time, the tag scene was just them two putting on clinics. I mean, absolute clinic. I think one of my favorite Hell in a Cell matches to this day was the tag match that they did in there. It was so good. And everybody was like, well, how are they going to do a tag match in a Hell in a Cell? No, it had not been done. And it was so good. And to have their biggest rival come out and say, we can't do this. And to lay down and to give them the win. So that they could continue on, so Kofi can have his opportunity, was just, I mean, it just puts Kofi over even more, right? If you didn't buy into him, because his peers and his biggest rival respect the hell out of Kofi Kingston. It was so good. And then he goes in to what was the last single night of WrestleMania for good reason, because that show had some great matches. And I'm so
glad. Find that card. What was that number again?
35. WrestleMania 35.
Yep.
And because that was the one, the triple threat with Becky and Ronda and Charlotte was the main event. But everybody was so exhausted by then in the crowd that it just didn't get.
Yeah.
It just didn't get the pop that it should have.
That's right. Oh, my God.
But I'm so glad that that Kofi match was in the middle because when he put his shoulders to the mat and pinned Daniel Bryan, and the New Day got to reveal the new title that they had over on the side just for Kofi. And these three grown men are crying in the middle of this ring, weeping. Yeah. The crowd is going bananas. Whew. That was special, man. That was appointment viewing when that storyline was going on. It was.
I remember being next to. So there were a couple guys who, like, grew up in a same neighborhood that I did. Mm-hmm. It was like three friends. And funny enough, they were, you know, all black guys, love New Day. That was their favorite team because it was Kofi. And they were just like, the whole time we're sitting next to each other. It was great too. It was just like a couple kids from the hood all just like talking about wrestling. And then one guy was like, yo, man, do you think they're going to put the belt on Kofi? There's just no way they're going to put the belt on Kofi, man. They don't believe in Kofi, man. They ain't never going to do that. And I was like, brother, we're going to be crying at the end of this night. Kofi's winning the championship. I guarantee it. It's like I would burn this place down if Kofi doesn't fucking win this championship.
Yes.
Perfectly fine with that. The Jets and the Giants don't need to play in this freaking place anymore. Yeah. And then they went and did it. And it was like it's silly, right? Because it's grown men in spandex, you know, wrestling. But in the context of, like, you know, and it doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people maybe, but in the context of, like, seeing, you know, like a guy like Kofi, a dude who was a tag team, like, specialist, just kind of regulated, never really given those opportunities, always knew that he was capable of doing it given how good he was in the ring. Yep. But it was always just like whatever factors, whatever star was popping off or whatever, you know, situation came about. So to just see someone, a veteran like Kofi Kingston, just get that opportunity to hold that belt over his head was such a powerful moment for so many of us. Till this day. And another fun thing about that, 2 days later, I was filming with IGN, a WWE IGN like thing, and it just so happened that Kofi was participating in it because Woods was like the one primarily working on it. So I got to hold the brand new WWE championship the second day he was holding. He brought it to the thing, and Woods, and then Woods is like, "Oh, you want to hold the belt? You want to hold the belt? Come, come, come." And he just grabs me. He's like, "Kofi, Alex wants to hold the belt." He just gives me the belt, and I was like, "Oh my God. This is it."
Wow.
It was like the coolest moment.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was, and it was a great show. You should check it out. It was WWE IGN Wrestle. Yeah, we had a real good time with that one. But also just, yeah, Mania was, that year was incredible. Good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
That is a very, dude, the underdog shit works. It will, if you play it right, it will always work.
Yeah.
Brian, Kofi, Cody.
You think Cody's underdog right now? I don't think Cody's underdog.
1,000%.
Really? I think last year he was more underdog than this year.
No, think about it. Think about it. He's got to deal with The Rock now. He's got to deal with the entirety of the bloodline. Everyone's talking about that he can't trust Seth. Like, they're talking about, we need more people. They've set up this whole tag match as a means to keep him as an underdog.
I have it in my head that he's winning.
Obstacles in his way. Obstacles in his way.
I've had it in my head that he's winning, guys. I can't have this happen again. Because I was in SoFi, and I was there with my buddy Gaskin, and we were so excited to watch Cody win this freaking belt. I did the same thing. I looked at my friend. I was like, at the end of this night, me and you are going to be crying because AEW's Cody Rhodes is going to be a freaking world champion. And then we got a year of Roman, which I'm not mad about. It was great.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we got two good ones, both connected to Daniel Bryan.
Absolutely.
Is the third one connected to Daniel Bryan?
No, it's not. Okay. But now I feel bad because you guys got me all like goosebumpy and remembering those moments. Because again, those were ones I was also there for as well. And so like,
when Sheamus knocked Daniel Bryan out in like 6 seconds to win the
greatest rivalry in the history. Yeah. Underrated.
I'll never forget that Rumble, for our show. That Royal Rumble when Sheamus won, I felt so bad because I was so hype. I really like Sheamus, but the crowd was just not into it. Mm-hmm. I do remember that. They were not into it, but
very much.
Yeah.
No, for me, it's funny because I was like, well, I'm an old head. I'll take it back. It was only a couple of years back. Like, we're going to get a bunch of – he can be like, what do you mean? Like, 1988 WrestleMania, you guys didn't love it. I don't know because, honest to goodness, though, there are so many classic, like, matches and stories, but I think in the – modern era of WWE, they've gotten much better at the emotional, telling those kind of real life stories. So I think they kind of resonate with a lot of people of our generation. So while there are classics, of course, I'm going to take us back a couple of years prior to that. I mentioned this on our main podcast a little bit as when we were talking about predictability, but Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, round 2.
I had a feeling. I don't know why I had a feeling you were going to do that.
Yeah. So one of the big things is like a good rivalry to me, and there's a lot of factors, but a good rival to me makes a good video package. And the Shawn Michaels Undertaker WrestleMania 26 video package, in my opinion, is the best one ever made in the history of WWE.
Better than my way.
10 times better than my way sucks.
What?
caveat.
Okay.
Look back at it. Look back. Here's why, though. It is a classic. I bop out to it. It hits. It goes hard.
Okay.
But from a story, like, dude, all it is a banger of a song at the time. A banger of a song to Stunner, Rock Bottom, and Stunner, Rock Bottom. I gotta beat you, Rock. Stunner, Rock Bottom. I'm gonna stand here like this. I'm gonna stand here like this. Stunner, Rock Bottom. Like, the story was just that I won the Rumble and I'm going to beat you, Rock.
He needed to be better than him. That was just the story, right?
The promos weren't crazy back and forth. It wasn't so deeply emotional. Yeah. It goes hard, but like, as far as like weaving a story in a tapestry, it's kind of mid.
Yeah. I should say as a video package, that was base.
Sure, right.
But it's like I get what you're saying.
Was the Schwarzenegger movie of highlight packages is what
and it, to be fair, it was kind of like it was the one that really got them going on like using popular music to really tell, because before that they were just kind of like dun 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 dun, like generic like orchestra music and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like that was then like they really started using more like pop culture and stuff like that. So anyway, what I loved about Michael's Undertaker 2 is that it took a story that we 100% knew the outcome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it brought us, number one, it told us an awesome story along the way. And at least for me, as naive as it might have been, got me to the point where I thought, maybe he'll do it. Yeah. Sean, I'm like, I was, because at that point, I wasn't convinced yet that like, and we ultimately were kind of right, but like everyone had been saying, if anybody beats Taker, it's going to be the, you know, whoever the next hot rising star is, right? Kind of a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I don't, like, maybe not. Like, and especially knowing little things about Vince, like, he likes his guys. Maybe Sean, you know, Sean's a legend and everything like that. I know Sean's older and anything, but maybe, like, man, they've just had such a rivalry. Maybe he'll do it. But so many things happened along that way. It started nice and it started back in December. So it's not like something had happened shotgun in a month. He at the Slammies declares he wants another shot. I can freaking beat you. He goes into the Rumble. I still get more goosebumps. I don't know if it was intended, but then he gets put to the apron. Batista hits him. And Sean is trying, he's grabbing at the rope, and Batista's literally slapping his hands away so he can't hold on and falls down. It's not some big bump. It's not a clothesline over. It's not that he's literally desperately clinging to the rope and just gets smacked away. And so, and I love that. And that the heartbreak, he played it up so well. I also believe this, correct me if I'm wrong, I may have the wrong year, but interim in between like Rumble and it was like No Way Out, whatever, the February one, was that the same year of the JBL, like, wasn't it where like Sean lost all his money and so he had to be like JBL's manservant kind of thing?
Was that, I'm looking it up. Oh dude, I do not remember this.
No, so if I had, it was the dumbest storyline. Okay,
so I just found an article, by the way. The title said, I'm gonna pull it up. I think it just serves so much better visually. So let's see if it's popping up.
Apologies to the listeners.
To the listeners. Do you see it now?
Oh God, yes.
Yeah.
Which was Shawn the weirdest Michaels of his WWE was the weirdest of his career.
Oh man. Yeah, 100% was.
That's so bizarre. So it was December 2008. So JBL contract to keep his family afloat. Michael said he didn't like JBL, but this is what he needed to do. The storyline made no sense. The strange storyline was supposed to play on the real life emotions of the many people who genuinely did lose everything.
I knew, damn it.
The 2008 financial crisis? Yeah.
Never mind. I'm wrong. I'm off by a year. Because Mania 26. Yeah, never mind. No, because I'm getting confused because I'm like, he beat JBL to face Taker, but that was the first one.
Yeah.
All right. So forgive me.
Wait a minute. In hindsight, you did an angle off of the 2008 financial crisis.
Of course
they
did.
One of the worst situations in U.S. history. Oh, my God.
That surprises me.
So I didn't intend to talk about this rivalry, but maybe this is my favorite WrestleMania rivalry.
JBL.
Even though it ended before WrestleMania. No, so my point I was going to try to make was that, like, just I thought that was the same year. It's not, so I'm wrong. But my point was going to be, like, despite that little, like, sidestep, it still ended up being a good story. But no, it absolutely was not. It was the wrong year. So, losing the Rumble, like, Triple H trying to talk him down, like, and Michaels did such a good job of playing desperation and heartbreak and sadness every step of the way, to the point where, like, then he's got to go in to the Undertaker, keeps telling him, no, I beat you. We're done. Move on. And Sean, I can't fucking take it. I can't.
Yeah.
And I love seeing guys like that who were, he got really in touch with his like emotional side and everything in that latter half of his career. He did some of his best, just like character work, promo work and everything in that latter half of his career. And so then into Chamber, and he's like, I got to screw the Undertaker is how it's got to be. And Taker was the champion. Mm-hmm. So he's like,
world
I
heavyweight,
face
right?
You.
He was
face,
world heavyweight.
Yeah. I'll face you for the title. That's what he's like. I can beat him and take the title off him. That's how it started. And then he's like, fuck, I'm just going to fuck him out of the title. And Shawn's the ultimate good guy at this time. And he goes to fuck another good guy out of the title. And still is a baby face, though. People are still like, yes, we want you to face Undertaker. Till he finally says yes. And, you know, they have another banger of a match. And he retires. But it was such Michaels playing that again, that heartbreak, that sadness, that desperation.
Obsession.
The absolute obsession.
I mean, it was watching Moby Dick in a wrestling ring. I mean,
that's his white whale.
That was his white whale. He wanted that so bad and would go to any lengths and any extreme that he could to get it to his own detriment. Yeah.
Makes you wonder why they didn't pull the trigger, you know? Like, I felt like they had something there. Like, anyone have been mad if Shawn Michaels beat Undertaker at WrestleMania?
Well, I do think the hardcore, the people who are like, whoever ends this streak has got to be like a John Cena, a Roman Reigns.
Oh, yeah, because they were like really big into that shit at the time. And to your point, you're right. But I can't help but feel like that was just, I mean, because they ended up giving the win to the young, hot upstart Brock Lesnar. So,
I know, a couple years later.
Actually, quick question, though, on that one. Did anyone feel like Brock was going to win that match?
Nope.
I
didn't even see the pin happen live. Because when he pinned Taker, when he on that last F5, I looked away. I was like, I need some more chips and dip or some shit. And then I heard the bell ring and I was like, wait, what happened? Because I didn't think it was going to happen either.
I was there. That was Taker was fucked up.
Yeah.
In the last like 6 minutes of that match or whatever, it was such an unfortunate kind of situation, but it was already booked and kind of stuff like that. But dude, I was in the Superdome, watching from like a VOM. Me and Sami Zayn, a couple of the other NXT kids were out on the floor, dude, 60,000 people air sucked out.
Yeah.
Like it was such an eerie feeling. Like it's the first time I've ever heard a bell ring with that many people in a building, and like they did people. No, it wasn't a
bell,
pop.
And the bell
it wasn't a pop. It was It was.
Damn, I gotta go back and watch that now. That was so good.
Random transition, but yeah.
Yeah. No, it is. But I mean, to the point, you know, regarding Undertaker, I think that his like, I struggled with the matches between the Shawn Michaels match and the Brock Lesnar match, honestly, because I don't know. I just felt like they had so many opportunities to just like call it. Like, you know what would have been a great opportunity? If Bray would have beat him, that would have been a really good opportunity for Bray.
A lot of people felt like that. Yeah.
I was convinced Bray was going to beat him because Bray was the next iteration of this character in a modern era, you know, like it was really cool. And then they didn't do it. So I agree with you. That match, everything was set up so freaking well. But did Shawn Michaels say he was retiring after that match? Or did he? That was like a stipulation.
That was the stipulation.
Taker put that on. He goes, if you don't beat me, your career is over.
Okay. Yeah. And we all know they love that shit. So I guess that makes a lot of sense. Damn, dude. Wow. Good memories,
but
man.
Yeah.
They've been
so. Watch that video package back, Running Up That Hill. It was the somebody's cover of Running Up That Hill.
Oh.
And it was awesome. It gives me chills. It's my favorite video package of all time.
Now you're making me want to go back and watch that feud. I really hope that WWE one day, you know, I don't know if they do this already, but like they really got to take some of these stories. And Disney Plus does this really cool thing, especially like as it leads up to big shows that they have, like when they did Ahsoka, they had like a get to know Ahsoka like series, and it was the most valuable episodes of like Ahsoka's character development that you would see so, in the show. Kind of, sort of, right? I would really like for WWE to do more of that. I know they have their series like Rivals and stuff, but I don't know. I just want to watch matches and segments.
Okay, know? There yeah. is a guy on YouTube that I follow. It's at, if let me look mm-hmm. at it real quick. His username is just TH14, and yep. he does the story of blank, and it's all of that. It's like literally just segment match, whatever of this one storyline, and he's been doing them for years, and they're like an hour or an hour and something long, and yeah,
depending on how long the rivalry is. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
TH14.
I had no idea. TH14. I found him.
I was looking at that today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So story of Stone Cold versus the Kane versus the Undertaker breakdown 1998.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, he even does AEW on here as well.
Yeah. He does, that's super. Story sick. Of John Moxley versus MJF Full Gear 2022.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels versus Jericho one, WrestleMania 19. That was another good one.
Yep.
Oh, that was a good one. Hell yeah. That was actually a very good one. Yeah. I remember that one. Quite well. Yeah, damn, man. There have been some really good WrestleManias for sure. I'm curious what WrestleMania matches rather, like so many to choose from.
Tell us. What's
funny is we all chose title matches, right?
Yeah.
Did we all choose title matches? No, you didn't.
Mine was on
title. Yours wasn't because he lost the belt beforehand. Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. Oh my goodness gracious. There's some good ones.
But
there's
some
good ones. Yeah.
There's a lot of good ones, man. That's what I was just gonna say. I was just gonna say, folks, we've shared ours. Please share yours. Of course, if you're watching on YouTube, you can comment down below as well as hit like, hit subscribe. If you're on listening to this, Spotify, Apple, you can at least leave us a review. Let us know what you think of this. What do you think of the show overall? And also generous 5 stars if you got the time. Or in the best place, the most immersive place, join that Discord link, which is all linked in our different social media platforms. Look up Rebooked Pod and discuss with us because that's what this is all about. We're all discussing with each other. We want to discuss it with you as well. So, Ben, leave comments of your favorite rivalries, your favorite stories, matches throughout all of
wrestling and one more thing.
WrestleMania. Please.
Feedback for the double episodes this week.
Yeah.
Do you like this?
Do you like this? Do you like the double episode format? Well, the mentality behind it was, you know, I talked to a few of my buddies who do like the podcast Plat Chat. It was a very popular Valorant podcast. And I was like, hey, you have this new wrestling podcast. It's really good. And they were like, great. How long's your episodes? And I was like, it's about like an hour, 45 minutes. And he was like, you might want to bring that down. So we wanted to try it out. We just wanted to see like if we could split things up. And also too, like I love doing funny things and I want to try and do like I still have in my mind, we got to do the AEW title tier list. Or what is the most important belt in AEW? Because they have 15, so we got to figure that one out. And then, you know, I really want to see, like, also, you know, feuds, best feuds. Or we could go through, you know, top 5 title reigns for X person. Or, you know, like, there's a variety of different directions we can go. So if you guys have any ideas, leave them in the comments. And, of course, leave them in Discord because we want to hear from you. So
absolutely. You're the man. It's that simple. Talk with us. We want to talk with you. But until next time, folks, hit all those links, watch more wrestling, enjoy it, and we will see you on the very next episode of Rebooked. Thank you much. Until then,
peace. See ya.